Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We've had so many questions about the case against Brian Koberger for so many years, and even after his arrest, his conviction, and now with him behind bars, questions still continue to mount up. Questions we may not ever get the answers to, but we're certainly going to try. We're going to dig. We're going to see what we can find out. Joining us to help us in that quest, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. So one of the biggest unanswered questions here in this case has been about the K-bar knife. What happened to it? Also, his clothing. This was a horribly bloody scene. Where did all of that end up? There's been a lot of speculation over time. One of the most recent pieces of speculation has come up from actually Robin Drake, one of our contributors here on the program, speculating on, did Brian Koberger have a hidey hole similar to what BTK had as well, a place where he went back and dropped his belongings, maybe murder weapons, maybe trophies, maybe clothing, place he could go back, look at it, reminisce, or maybe pick up what he needed as he went off to wherever he was going. Joining me, Jennifer Coffendaffer. Jen, what are your thoughts on that idea? We do know that he deviated on his routes of his vehicle history, sometimes going to parks, sometimes going to wooded areas. Do you think it's that far-fetched that maybe he was emulating like an Israel Keys or something in that part of his I want to be a murderer scheme?
You know, Tony, from the beginning, supposition on my part was that, and in part based on the shovel, was that certainly I believe he kept the bloody clothing, the K-bar knife. I never thought he threw it in the river or anything like that. And this is why. Mm-hmm. When you look at BTK, when you look at Ted Bundy, to return to the items that were used, it would be so stimulating. And of course, you know, this crime was a crime of sexual fantasy. Mm-hmm. We now know some of his searches, and what seemingly excited him was sex with bodies that were unconscious, sex with bodies that were completely compliant, and sex with people drunk, passed out. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that he would have kept the items as well. I think he would have used that shovel to dig possibly. And that's why law enforcement took so many pains to try to find the dirt and try to match it up with what was on the shovel from all the different sites he stopped at, mm-hmm. according to his digital trail. So do I think he had an actual hidey hole that he dug before the murders? I think it could be possible, mm-hmm. But certainly I don't think he ditched anything. I think they're somewhere.
Yeah, that's the question. And would there be any incentive for Brian Koberger to reveal that information anymore today? Or do you think that might be something that is going to be locked away with him behind those bars?
I think someday, Tony, he's going to meet with somebody. This, I think, will fulfill the fantasy he's in now. Mm-hmm. He would love to be renowned, if you will. He would love to be a Ted Bundy or BTK. Actually, he's already reached that height, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody in true crime, certainly, that follows news, anyone that's paying attention knows his name and knows what happened to those mm-hmm. Idaho Four to some degree. And sure. So... what infamy for him, that he would have if books are written about him, but he's got to dangle some carrots out there. And one of those carrots, I think, is where is that K-bar knife and the clothing?
Yeah, that's going to be fascinating to see if we do ever get our hands on it. I'm wondering, I mean, they did find, we'll go to the IDs for a moment, the IDs... in a glove, in a box of Koberger at his parents' home in Idaho. I know earlier reports, including here, we have been saying in a glove box, because that's really what it appeared when you look at it, but in a glove, in a box at his parents' home, doesn't necessarily change up the conversation all that much. He still had the IDs in a glove, in a box. So go from there. What does that tell us about him at all? And I'm wondering if there's going to be other things, other IDs hidden somewhere, other trophies. It seems odd that there's just the two of them there. And I'm wondering if there would be some things even more precious to him, if you would, that might be under the ground somewhere in one of these hidey holes, which dirt was still on his shovel from.
Well, the interesting part of those IDs, of course, are there are other females that he worked with far mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
So, he would have confiscated those, Tony, right? Yeah. He made the effort to have them. And I think that's part of the fantasy. And were they ever on his radar? I tell you, it seems like they were. He kept them. And that mm-hmm. was for a reason. What troubles me is if you look back at that search warrant return, it specifically says the number 10. 10 IDs in a glove in a box. Mm-hmm. And again, to put IDs in a glove, why? Other than you're hiding something mm-hmm. and in that box, right, that they found. So yeah. I always figured that they would be something interesting. But what about the other 8 IDs? And I think this goes back to our premise, right? He wanted to keep items that he could go back to and fantasize about.
Why are we only hearing about the 2 IDs? The information's coming out now. What would be the holdback on the other 8 being revealed? Because originally, yes, it did say 10. Are they saying that there's only 2 now? What's going on there?
Well, that's what bothers me, because there's a big disconnect. Mm-hmm. The FBI FB-597 clearly states 10 IDs. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't make any sense that only 2 are being discussed. So hopefully more will come out on that. I want to hear about the other 8.
Yeah, I certainly do too, because I know initially the early reporting had said that's not related to the King Road House. Obviously, the 2 that came out were not related to the King Road House. But I do wonder, I mean, there really hasn't been even any recognition that there are 8 more. It's just simply we found 2 IDs. That seems to be the way it's being stated right now, correct?
That's correct. And I'm confused about that. At least what they're talking mm-hmm. about are the 2 IDs. But I specifically pulled that FD-597 up mm-hmm. And pretty much toward the top of that, you can see 10, you know, 1, 0. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's not 2 or 10. It's right there. This agent didn't have the best handwriting,
yeah.
But certainly you can see it says 10 IDs. So yeah. What happened to the other 8? Why aren't they being discussed? And I always say, you know, in these cases like this, there's so much information that becomes fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are almost 3 years away. In November, it'll be 3 years. And Tony, sometimes the people that are being interviewed, for instance, that discuss those mm-hmm. 2 IDs, were those the only 2 IDs that they recall being significant? Because it's super significant,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, that they were from his previous female coworkers, from as far back as, you know, when he was working at the school. Yeah. In Pennsylvania. So that's very significant. And maybe they didn't mention the others, but you should mention the others. And that paperwork will come out,
yeah,
I think.
I'm wondering about that. I mean, why would you not mention the others? And I guess perspective is another benefit that we have now because it's all this time later. They may not have thought them to be significant at the time, but I think Koberger in possession of anybody's IDs is significant. To wonder, what was that all about? How did he have them? Why did he have them? Were they other ones his IDs? I guess don't technically know the answer to it. We know they were IDs. I highly doubt he had 8 versions of his own ID. But yeah, why? And will that come out? Could that come out? Who needs to be shooken a little bit to get that information to fall from that tree?
Well, we still have so little, mm-hmm. you know, when you look at quote unquote terabytes of information, we're not seeing terabytes of information. We're seeing hundreds of pages, which is, you know,
not
so
much.
Little.
Yeah.
It's minuscule compared to everything that's out there. And then we're getting interviews about a lot of this. For instance, the 2 IDs, we haven't seen those IDs.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a document about those IDs. What we saw was an interview on the IDs. So it's kind of like you're just constantly having to go back and look and scrub, and there's so much to read. And some of it's just so routine.
Mm-hmm.
Documentary-wise, it doesn't give us anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then some is kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, it certainly would be fascinating to see who is on those ideas. And I think it's going to create nightmares for whoever's IDs that he actually had. But I bet there's a lot of people who are looking back going, hey, I lost my ID around that time when I was interacting with Koberger. And I bet they probably know who they are. That would be fascinating to find out, you know, who and when and why, if anybody even wants to speak up. I don't blame them for not wanting to put their hat in the ring of this case. If they do ever find this knife, this K-bar knife, obviously he's in prison for the rest of his life. If it's found now, what sort of forensic value could it still have? Could there be anything on it? I'm guessing this man is cleanly as he tried to be, that there wouldn't be a whole lot left on this knife. Although, who knows, if he thought nobody would find it, maybe there is for him to look back on in a dark, creepy way. Other than just the satisfaction of we found the knife, is there any value to retrieving it at this point?
There's always value, because even though I agree with you, he likely cleaned that thing inside and out. It's, you know, probably, devoid of any DNA or mm-hmm. biological information, but you never know. I've always said in that car that it would have been in the crevices or something found. And you know what? It wasn't, because he was that good. I mean, they talked about how he took the car apart and mm-hmm. put it back together. To make sure he cleaned, so no blood would have gotten in the creases, and probably prophylactically mm-hmm. put down something. I tell you, that's what I find just so interesting about this case, along with a lot of other things. But Tony, the way he was able to really cover up this crime is unbelievable. His cleanup process. I mean, I'm sorry to give him accolades for this, mm-hmm. but I just have to, because it was really good. And I've always said, I don't know if he would have been convicted. He would have been arrested, but I don't know if he would have been convicted without the DNA on that sheath, because he did such a great job covering his tracks.
Let's talk about the cleanup process for Brian Koberger a little bit, because some, in many ways, one can say, yeah, he did a pretty damn good job, honestly. I mean, all you have, at least, that was recovered in that house was the DNA on the sheath. No other material of his, as far as we know, was found. At least that's at the end of the day what Bill Thompson has said. That's what the investigators have said. That's what they were going to go to court with, was just that, if this had gone to trial. But as they dig a little deeper, and as we initially heard, there's no known connection to the victims, at least digitally, on his devices. The Cellebrite folks who actually did the extraction are speaking out now. They're saying that as they dug through his device, yes, piece by piece, week by week, especially the week of the crimes, he wiped his phone as he went, it appears. Search something, delete it. And delete it again, and really delete it so it can't be pulled back up. But the thing you can't delete is sometimes some of those deep-rooted files in the system, the stuff that says where the Wi-Fi connected to. And one of those places it connected to, or at least found, which all of our phones do. If you look at your phone right now, you can find all the strange names your neighbors or your coworkers have named their Wi-Fi hotspots, and you'll be surprised sometimes if you ever do that. The Mad Greek was one of those places that popped up as being either found as he was in the area of or possibly connected to. That tells us a little bit more about, maybe he was there. There was someone early on, a former employee that said that she remembers seeing him at the restaurant. The owner came back early on and denied that, saying she didn't remember. Doesn't necessarily negate someone else's eyewitness account, but it wouldn't be shocking if he actually was there. Is that an angle that they really missed more on in this investigation? If in fact the Cellebrite people are saying, hey, look, his phone does show he did pop up there at some point in time.
Well, I think then you have to cross-reference who was working there at that time. Was Zanna working there? Was Maddie working there? Mm-hmm. And so they have the particular time frame that the Wi-Fi connected. And according to the report I saw, it was multiple times, possibly.
Yeah.
That's what they said. So if that's the case, did they do their due diligence, which I can't imagine they wouldn't, and cross-reference that with when Zanna and Maddie were there? Or, you know, was Kaylee there eating? Mm-hmm. She wrote a beautiful review about the Mad Greek. Mm-hmm. And so could she have been spotted there? It's clear to me that he was around the Mad Greek, and it's very coincidental. But we haven't seen that report where somebody looks at the dates and where everybody was at that time to give us that piece of the puzzle.
That's a key piece to this, and I'm very curious about it. I'm also curious, I would imagine, credit card receipts, things of that nature. I'm going to guess the Mad Greek, I'm going to guess the investigators would have looked back through that. Would they have not to seen if he had eaten there at some point in time, if it had come up on anything? Otherwise, you would assume he'd have been paying in cash.
Right. And you summed it up well. One of the workers there very early on said, listen, he was there. Mm-hmm. And then but the ownership was very clear and really dogmatic. Mm-hmm. I remember this really coming out strong that no, he wasn't there. But I think you could only say that if you had a credit card or a digital trail on a bank card. But if he paid in cash, you wouldn't have that. And we know that he switched from using his credit cards and went to cash. Mm-hmm. You know, that's already been discussed at different times, I guess, after the crime. Mm-hmm. But did it before the crime when he was at key locations where he would have been surveilling or looking or gawking, as I said, coveting.
Yeah.
Coveting these girls. And I think for anybody who says there was no trail found back to Maddie or Kaylee, you can say that, but the logic tells us there was. It's just he erased it, and we can't find it. But shoot, this Mad Greek, I want to see, surely they did the proper cross-reference with when they would have been there.
And with surveilling Koberger as well. Were Koberger surveilling them at the homes, as we've learned about that many, many times now. It wouldn't be, I think, insane to think that maybe he was also surveilling them outside of the restaurant as well, if that's what he really wanted to do. I mean, we're talking, this was a place on Main Street in Moscow, Idaho. There's other places nearby on this downtown. It's literally Main Street, where one could somewhat blend in, whether they're just a parked car nearby or sitting on a bench or walking up and down Main Street and gazing in the window as he walks by. I mean, there's a lot of ways that this could have happened, where it was part of the surveil and not necessarily him showing up for lunch. Although we do have that one person who says they served him a veggie pizza or a vegetarian pizza, which is a pretty specific thing to say that you believe somebody ate if you're not sure if they went there or not to know their actual order.
Yeah, I agree. I always have believed he went there and ate, or went there and saw them. Mm-hmm. And again, that was based in large part on that interview with a former restaurant worker. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was a vegan and they served vegan food. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Kaylee had a write-up about going to that restaurant. Mm-hmm. And the fact that two of the victims worked there. It made a lot of sense to me that that could have been where he came upon them. Mm-hmm. It sounds like we won't know unless they cross-referenced those work shifts and Kaylee, the different times Kaylee was there. Mm-hmm. If they cross-reference that, that might be something, but they don't seem to be talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this all takes resources, this all takes manpower, and the man is behind bars now. So, you know, how many, you know, actual law enforcement resources are actually looking into any of this anymore? I'm going to guess none.
None.
So this is all pretty much up to true crimers if they really want to find out the answers. And other than just getting the answers, I don't know that it changes a whole lot. Maybe it helps put some pieces together, you know, for the family of understanding his actions. But does it really matter at this point? I don't know the answer to that. But the curiosity, I'm sure, will always linger. I would assume we figure out the answers to this stuff without having to ever go back and ask Brian Koberger. Because then that kind of takes his spotlight away a little bit. Like, huh, we figured it out. Sorry, we don't need your feedback. We already figured it out on this end. But there were still certainly be questions there about it. What do you take out of the police scanner listening, where he pulled up the streaming of it the night of the murders itself? This seems a little old school to me, of listening to the police scanner. And what is it exactly going to tell him if he's listening to it before the actual murders, not necessarily after, to see when they arrive and go into the scene?
Well, the reason it's so critical is it's going to tell him where they're at.
Sure.
Why we're responding here, we're responding there, mm-hmm. we're 10-8, we're 10-7, we're, you know, in other words, in service, out of service, mm-hmm. What they're responding to. So I think it's a real critical piece that I would want to know if I was committing a crime. I would be monitoring the scanner. And, you know, the Moscow Police Department, I would believe, do not have encrypted radios. Mm-hmm. So communication by the FBI, our radios are encrypted. You cannot scan them. Mm-hmm. They do not come up on a scanner, and the codes are changed. You have to do these code changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're impenetrable. But no, the Moscow ones aren't impenetrable. And so I would have wanted to know that. Where are the units?
But what is the thought process there? Because by the time he gets there and he commits the crime, is he, how long do I have to get away? I mean, by that point, the activity will have changed as far as what's going on out there in the ether of Moscow, Idaho. And it's not that big of a town. So it's not like, oh, great, they're on the south side of Chicago. I'm on the north side. It's going to take an hour. It's Moscow. It'll take them 2 minutes to get from one side to the other. Does it, I don't know. It seemed, I mean, what, would that have been valuable data for him, or is it just another? Was it just another piece of data for a man whose brain just fed and ran on raw data?
Personally, I think it was brilliant, and I would have wanted to know that. Mm-hmm. I would have wanted to know, okay, they're at a big fight, and okay, all the units have responded, or this or that. I would want to know how many are even on duty at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, that's the witching hour,
yeah,
right? I mean, you're talking, everybody is done partying. People are not getting up yet and driving yet for their shifts, mm-hmm, mostly, you know, 6 a.m. shifts, right? That is sure, between 3 and 5. And he knew that. He mm-hmm knew that's when everybody, things should be pretty darn quiet. Mm-hmm. And so I think he just wanted to know. I bet he knew exactly how many units. As you said,
yeah,
it's a very small department. And yeah, now you know, wow, there's only two units here at all.
Well,
and they're having coffee. And they're 10-7.
And add that to the mix of, he didn't know what he was walking into. So was the thought process at that moment in time, I'm going to go after one person, and what if somebody else is there in the house and they call 911? Is that what the thought is of, if the police do get notified of my presence, here's my window to get out? And then he goes in the place and discovers, you know, he ends up killing four people unexpectedly. That seems to throw a little wrench in the plan of whatever data the police scanner radio would have given you.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's never foolproof, mm, but in any operation, and I'll just call this an operation,
yeah,
that he was running there, data, any and all data can be useful. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to look for it all.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. There's, you can, you know, the more data, the better. And if you find some unuseful and other useful, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But at least you have it. And as you said, listen, this was a guy who always wanted to be an officer. I consider that he was running this like a special op. Mm-hmm. You know, he planned for it. He had every base covered. And this would be one of the bases, in my view, you would want to have covered if you were going to do something like this. And it's outside of the box of what most mass murderers or fledgling serial killers would do.
Yeah.
No. Because he had that education.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that initiative to want to do that. So it makes a lot of sense to me. Although I agree with you, was it really helpful? Maybe not, mm-hmm, but maybe was.
Maybe scratch that itch for him in his mind of, I need this, yeah, this data in some way, shape, or form. Let's talk a little bit about another aspect of the Koberger case. And I know we've talked about it before, but I know you just tweeted about it today, 5 hours ago, as of this recording, Papa Roger. Now, I know we've criticized this before. I know that, and I looked at the document that you posted online that talks about, you know, the investigation in looking into his connection. Is it that thorough? Did they thoroughly look at this? Because they even spelled it wrong. I mean, look, I'm a podcaster, so I know I've spelled it wrong, but I'm a podcaster. I'm not the one investigating the actual crime itself. So if you're spelling the damn name of the character wrong in your actual investigation, I'm going to say maybe you're not looking close enough.
Well, I do always tease, you know, Twitter and social media, it's an opportunity for people to not have to worry about spelling. They don't have to worry about grammar. You just need to get your message across.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not a police report, but these are police reports.
Yes.
And in police reports, to your point, you shouldn't be wrong because it should be very thorough. You know, relook at it. I was very meticulous on police reports. And because just this reason, and I saw an agent have to absolutely be humiliated on the stand, mm-hmm, about grammar and about spelling and about getting something else wrong. And I said, okay, yeah, I don't want that to ever be me. Mm-hmm. And so we expect police reports to be pretty spot on. Now, it was just one S, but it's still, it's a big deal because, again, Papa Roger, after, you know, Elliot,
mm-hmm,
Roger. I mean, that was the whole idea behind it, right? The incel. Yeah. And believe me, I don't think I believe he was an incel, mm-hmm, but I don't think that drove what he did.
Just out of the practicing sense of commiserating with others on online forums.
Right.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you know, all we can do is trust mm-hmm. that they properly investigated it. And I had to throw up that picture again because, you know, we all considered it a pretty viable possibility. And obviously law enforcement did too.
It looks just like him. And they didn't know who he was at the time. And this character knew things that were not released to the public. So either it is law enforcement. I know I've heard that theory too. Let me throw that out for a second. There was law enforcement trying to get him to come out because they already knew who he was and they already knew what he looked like, but they were just going to throw that out there and maybe we're going to get the weasel out of the hole. Any validity to that, or does that really not make a whole lot of sense once it's added up?
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It really doesn't. Tony, I think that it was a sleuth that was living, eating, and breathing this case. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to believe it, but I've seen some really good sleuths that get down a path and they're right.
That happen to have the same profile image as the killer before the killer is even suspected.
No. Hey, listen, anybody who followed this case and followed the Papa Roger knows I was a big one that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, every day for a long time, I posted about, wow, look at what he said today.
That's why I don't buy that it's not him. I'm like, okay, they determined it's my question was, well, how thoroughly was this investigated? And I see this report, this incident number that you've posted and the sheet. It was an officer Vargas, MPD, which I'm assuming would mean Moscow Police Department. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is not an FBI document here. This is a local This is a local department that did this.
Yes.
Probably somewhat limited on their searches when it says, I did not find the above terms related to Koberger in the accounts listed below, and it lists all the different iCloud, Snapchats, and everybody's things. But, I mean, are they operating with just the same stuff we would be, too, if we looked through them at that moment in time?
No, they, you know, this is the thing. They had to have found the IP mm-hmm. that was used. Related, and I know there's
VPN.
I knew you were going to say that. There are, and it's the whole thing is fascinating. I'll always be fascinated with it. I ran down so many rabbit holes, really focusing on the two posts that he did that made absolutely no sense. You know, one I think was about politics in California. The other one was about a school board, and I literally called that school. Mm-hmm. Talked to a board member, just really looked at who would have possibly written a post like that.
Yeah.
And none of the people I talked to posted about Papa Roger that were part of that whole school board posting, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. I ran that. I spent way too long on that. thinking, who would even know about this school board election or be angry about it or be upset? So I reached out, you know, who's involved with the school board that could possibly also be involved in this. And then there was the California political thing, as I recall. So there were two odd ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the VPN, believe me, I wish I had the tools that the FBI had. Mm-hmm. To really research this thoroughly, because it will always bother me that you know, this person was able to just get lucky. Boy, were they lucky.
Well, it feels like they just put the stop sign up and like the road closed here once they saw, well, the IP doesn't match to his apartment or where any place that he would have been. It's not the end of the story with a VPN. And unfortunately, I mean, it can be in terms of where you're going to investigate this, because you're never going to figure out where that came from. That's the point of a VPN. But to me, it almost points to it. That is as evident to me that it's him as it is that he turned his phone off during the actual killings. If the IP doesn't go anywhere near him, and it's information and it's his damn picture, I'm sorry, it's him. Without the picture, if it was just a picture, I would be completely with the investigator saying that's not him. It's just somebody that guessed some weird shit, and it turned out to be. I'm sorry, the picture just gets it for me all the time. That's what sells it. It's him. You're never going to prove that it's not, unless somebody comes out going, look how lucky I was. Turned out that picture I made looked just like him. I don't know. I think the odds are slim to nil on that one.
It makes no sense. And remember really quick, there were other postings after the arrest.
Yeah.
Right. And so a lot of people see there's these other postings. Was he in cahoots?
But was that him? Because when people say it was Papa Rogers, we look, well, do you have the actual, you know, the actual username itself? Or was this another person who popped up with the fake with Papa Rogers? Because there was a lot of fake ones that came out too. And can we confirm it was the original one? I mean, there's a lot of gray areas there too, where we just don't have the data because it wasn't necessarily archived at the time correctly, where we can find all that. And if somebody has that data to prove it better, I'm all ears. I also don't think it's crazy to think that he might have just found some weird shit to post on and posted on it, like he was very into it, like a school board meeting, to try and throw people off a little bit. Because, you know, he did have some strategery going on here. Wasn't the greatest at it, but there did seem to be some moments of, you know, enlightenment that seemed to work out well. Maybe that was one of them. I don't know. I just still have too many questions. What about the pictures? There's a lot of the pictures being posted online now. I know earlier when these first started coming up, the crime scene photos, there was a lot of outrage. I have not dug into these because, frankly, I just don't want to see them. The things that I have seen pop up on Twitter really have not been offensive. They look just kind of like scenes from an apartment or from the house. I know there's some that have bodies blurred out. But I guess, number one, I want to get your opinion. Is there anything we can take out of these crime scene photos that is beneficial?
So I've been one. I have posted probably at least a dozen.
Yeah.
I'm going to say around a dozen. Very careful to select ones that, of course, have nothing to do with any, you know, bodies where you could see anything. In that vein, and actually very few, and I slimmed them down so you could even see very little blood spatter. I think one I had a little bit more than
had a little blood in it, but everything else didn't look like a whole lot.
I think really for everybody who's followed this case, because of that gag order for 2.5 years, everybody sleuths and just, you know, people who follow true crime, they wanted to see what did this house look like? How could this have happened? How could nobody have seen him come in? How could you not hear? What was his trail that he took? Just all the, you know, sort of investigative kind of, you know, glass they wanted to put on it, right? They just wanted to take a look at everything. And I just felt like, listen, we're posting, everybody's posting documents that gruesomely describes what happened to all these victims. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gruesome. And yet, so we can read it, but we can't look at what the bedroom, how it was configured.
I have no problem with getting the bedrooms configured. I mean, is it just the law that allows this to happen? Is there anything that could have been done to stop the photos from getting out? I guess, I don't know. I get in the right minds, law enforcement folks, you know, people like yourself and all that. But I don't know. I when I heard that they were coming out, and I don't know, are there really gruesome ones out there? I don't want to see them, but are there ones that show stuff?
Well, right now, Judge Hippler is making a decision.
Okay.
About those.
I hope.
But they're out there, and I pray those don't get released. Yeah. I haven't seen them. I think both sides will fight to not have them released. Look, at there's no positive for Koberger's side to have that happen. And there's no positive for the prosecution. Nobody wants those out there.
Or is there positive for Koberger's side? Not like as in any sort of defense side, but in the world of Koberger showing off his work in a very, you know, I'm not trying to be sick, but it's the same type of way like BTK described stuff too, where it was like, I don't want to take credit for someone else's work when he's accused of other crimes.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. Believe me, I think he would love to see everything out there. I think he enjoys this.
Yeah.
This is what he enjoys. It's like his work that's being commemorated. His mm-hmm. work is out there for everybody to see mm-hmm. What he did. And of course, the longer all of this goes on, the more he's happy with it. I mean, BTK was the same way. He's mm-hmm. in a wheelchair and still, you know, got all involved in this crime. Mm-hmm. So they love this. But nevertheless, you know, could they get out? Sure. I mean, JonBenet Ramsey's are out.
Yeah.
You know, for a very brief moment, the Delphi murder girls, yeah. they were out. Sure. They can be out. Tony, it's, you know, freedom of information.
It is. And I guess, you know, whoever wants to look at them can look at them, but I don't want to be part of that. As long as, I mean, I like what you put out, what I've been generally seeing, I have no problem with. It's just when you get to like JonBenet type ones where it's like, yeah, can't unsee that. Does not help me with the case. Already knew in my mind just how dark and horrible this sort of thing was. But yeah, I just, it's just icky. One more thing on this. We're hearing reports, Daily Mail reporting that Koberger, although he is in solitary confinement, there's vents, there's, you know, HVAC systems that go throughout these prisons. And, you know, you got to have some sort of air circulation, even in solitary confinement. And the prisoners like to shout through the vents to each other. And the report is that he's getting a little bit harassed, or a lot harassed, saying he can't sleep at night, that people are tormenting him left and right. Again, it's reporting from Daily Mail, which is usually pretty solid. What's your take on that? Do you think that's true? Do you think Koberger is already, even in solitary, starting to get a little prison wrath sneaking up on him?
Well, first of all, the source reporting on this, I think, is probably accurate. Mm-hmm. I think this would be an odd thing to just come up with. Mm-hmm. You know, oh gosh, they're shouting through the vents or whatnot. So, and there's so many people that would be privy to it, right? Yeah, all these prisoners telling their, you know, loved ones about what they're doing, all mm-hmm. the guards, there's so it's something that would be easily leaked.
Sure.
So I think it makes a lot of sense that A, they're doing it, and that B, it's happening. So when I look at the logic of it, I think it's probably happening, Tony. Do I think it's a good thing? You know, I'm sickened. I will always be about how the case came out. Half of me is that way. Mm-hmm. You know, half of me, I'm so glad that there's closure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if closure is the right word, but at least it's over for the victim families. But Tony, you know, prison justice is going to keep trying to find its way.
Yeah.
Because those prisoners can become really famous if they do something to Brian Koberger. And that's what the drive is.
What do you think I've seen both arguments on both ways of this, saying they should be afraid of Koberger. Do you think they should be afraid of Koberger?
No.
Yeah.
No, listen, he's a kid in there. I mean, he isn't a career, you know, like most of these lifers and people in these prisons, maximum security. These are really bad guys mm-hmm. who've been in the system for years. They know all the tricks. This is a brand new world from him. The only thing he knows about this world is what he studied in a textbook.
Yep.
That's it. So no, I don't think they need to be away. And remember that he's not what they fantasize about.
No.
That's not his thing. His thing is sleeping beautiful women.
And at the end of the day, his wannabe attitude to be this killer put him where the wannabes go. And he may still be that wannabe, but he's going to experience the real thing hard and firm real soon. once those doors open a little bit, and it's not just shouts that are coming from the vents, but sweet nothings being whispered into his ear. Hopefully that will end the story at some point, but we shall see. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, thank you as always for your insight on this.
Thank you.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life.
Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.